You got to let it, huh? You got to get, who is that guy? I heard he said you got to get Radica. You don't need to get Radica. Because Paul said that same spirit that once was in Christ shall quicken your mind. You see, a lot of this stuff is emotional because we want to get behind the music. It ain't nothing wrong to get behind the music, but you got to make sure the Holy Spirit is in you that's going behind the music. Can you say amen? Oh, y'all. Huh? It's like fire. Shut up in my bones. It's like fire. Shut up in my bones. Fire. Shut up in my bones. Holy Ghost. Oh, you feel that love, huh? Now watch up. The Bible said, come on, Jesus said, come on down. If you hear that, you need to start making haste and come on down. I heard Pastor Keith say, hey man, you better know him. You better be ready. Because as soon as you think, how many hear what I'm saying? You better say, excuse my grandma, that old rag-a-gag and stuff that you're doing. You better get in a hurry. Because Paul said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said to himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Yes, yes. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. I want to walk this morning through this text and just talk this morning about the church. Amen. We are all privileged to be a part of the finest institution in the universe. That is the church. Now, when I say church here, I'm not necessarily talking about Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I'm not talking about Mount Olive Baptist Church or Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ. I'm talking about the ecclesia. And that simply means the universal church, the called out body of believers. And you need to know that there are folk in the jungles of Africa, amen, who are part of the church. Amen. Amen. There's royalty in Spain and in other places. They are a part of the church. We all are privileged. If God has called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light, then you ought to be excited this morning to know that you're a part of the church. Amen. If you're excited, amen, because please understand that you're in the church not because you were cute, not because you were a fashion expert, not because of where you received your degree or what your rank is in the military. If you're in the church, God saw fit to look beyond your faults and see your needs. Amen. So let me ask you one more time. Are you excited? Are you happy about being a part of the church? Thank you, ushers. Thank you so very much. This church, the ecclesia, the universal church, the called out body of believers. I wanted to talk about this morning because I think that many times we take for granted what it means to be a part of the church. Pastor, why do you think that? Why? Because I look at some of you when you come into the church and there doesn't appear to be any genuine, sincere excitement about your being here. And maybe I'm reading you wrong, amen, and if I am, forgive me, but I just think that when you realize what it took for you to be a part of the church, when you come to church, and that when you realize that in a real sense you are the church, you ought to handle this business in the right way, in an appropriate way. You ought to come here knowing that this ain't about you. See, too many of us come into the church with our emotions and our feelings on our shoulders, and we've already concluded that because I don't like so-and-so, or because I don't like the way this is happening or this is being done, that I ain't gonna say amen, I'm not gonna clap, I'm not gonna say praise the Lord. Amen. You've gotten it twisted because you have somehow fooled yourself into believing that the church belongs to you. I wish you would nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, if it hadn't been for Jesus, there would not be a church. And then tell that other neighbor, the church belongs to Christ. So how you handle the church has more to do with what you think about Jesus than what you think about yourself. I wonder if I have a witness today. We ought to handle the business of church with respect. Amen. We ought to handle it. It amazes me how the same folk who don't like folk on their job, they don't like their boss, they don't like the policies that have been implemented, they don't like none of that, but they still wake up every morning and go on that job and treat their boss with respect. Amen. Even when they don't feel like being there, they act like they like being there, and yet will come into the presence of God because you're not having your way and getting what you want, and sit down on God and sit there and look like you've been sucking sour lemons on God. I don't know how you feel about it, but I am thankful that he even called me out of darkness into them. If it had been left up to justice, I would not be able to stand behind this sacred desk, but because he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs, every chance I get to give him a hallelujah, I ain't worried about you. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care if you like me. I have come
to worship God. If you've come to worship God, worship Him in this place. We need to understand that this is a sacred assembly. Shame on you if you act better at the club than you act at church. This is a sacred assembly. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God meets us here. And this is not wasted time. This is not a ritual. So we need to gain a renewed appreciation for the church. The Bible says many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. Let me hear the church say together. And had all things come together, together. Look at this. The ones that believed, amen, not the ones that came to gawk. The believers were together. Can I ask you a question? Are you a believer? Are you just a spectator? And see, y'all don't realize that some folk are just spectators. They could care less about if the music is right. They could care less, amen, about whether the worship is right. They've only come to see how bad a day you're having. You didn't know that, did you? You didn't know they set, amen, strategically because they heard you're having a problem, and they are watching you through the whole worship experience. They're waiting to see you cry. They're hoping the choir will sing the right kind of song that will cause you to go into a fit. Amen. But I've said it over and over again. I'm not going to let the devil get any joy out of my trouble. I'm not going to let my haters get any joy out of my trouble. It's not that I don't have any trouble. It's just that I'm not going to give them the opportunity to come in here and gawk at me and laugh and, amen, and be happy because of some pain that I'm going through. Whatever I'm going through, when I come into the presence of God, my joy is restored. When I come into the presence of God, I may not feel like it, but something starts happening in my soul. Something starts happening in my spirit. I get the can't help it. That's why I had to sing the song that I'm going to make it, because somebody's hoping I'm not going to make it. But tell your neighbor, the devil is a lie. I is going to make it. So the Bible says they were together. Talking about the ones that believed, the core, the members, the regulars, they were together. They were like a family. They cared for one another. Amen, amen. They loved one another. They helped one another. They encouraged one another. They blessed one another. They prayed with one another. There were no big I's and little U's. They carried one another's burdens. When one fell down, the others picked them up. Tell your neighbor, they were together. Like the fingers on your hand, tied to the same purpose. Nothing will destroy a church faster than an uncaring, unthoughtful congregation. My brothers and sisters, we've got to have such genuine love for one another that when you hurt, I hurt. When you suffer, I suffer. Amen. Sometimes church can be the worst place in the world because we're the only institution that will kick those who've fallen. Don't act like you never messed up. I said, don't get beside yourself and act like you never messed up. Don't ever act like you've got some issues. Amen. You don't have some issues. You don't have some faults. And so as the family of God, we've got to love one another. Tell your neighbor again, they were together. But then watch this. It says they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They did what? They sold. See, we're too busy buying stuff, going in the debt, amen. We're too busy going in the debt to even think about selling some stuff. We'd rather go into debt keeping up with the Joneses than sell off some things to help out somebody in need. And this is a mentality that our American wealthy rationale cannot understand. But here was the thinking of the church that turned its world upside down for Jesus. They weren't bound up by money. Y'all, money ain't everything. Solomon said money answereth all things. Amen. But if you've lived long enough, you know there's some things money ain't gonna answer. You don't believe me? Amen. Amen. There's some sicknesses out there that you can have all the money and health insurance in the world, but if God don't touch your body and extricate you from that sickness, you will not be healed. Money will not buy everything. Not only were they not bound by money, they weren't in bondage to the religion of self. They knew how to help each other. Oh my, my desire for Pleasant Hill is that we have that genuine, and not just for church folk, but the Bible says that charity ought to begin at home. Amen. The Bible says that we ought to be able to share with one another as believers, but my desire and my goal, my dream for Pleasant Hill is that we also have the kind of desire to help folk who are not in the church. Can I get a witness today? And then it says they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They didn't lose interest after a couple of weeks. See, choir, I watched y'all last night. I said, I watched you. And maybe you know, Arthur done set in for you. You know, y'all were, Royce had y'all moving and all that. And so what I'm looking at might just be some tiredness, some old Arthur done crept in. Amen. Amen. But we can't be just sometimey Christians. Can I get a witness? We can't be sometimey about this. The Bible says they continued, amen, the prayer. They continued the worship. They continued the fellowship. They continued the work of ministry. They continued bringing people to church. They continued witnessing. They continued, but watch this, daily. That's all some people's burden will last is one day. But these people kept it going day after day after day after day. They knew what it was going to take, and they weren't constantly looking for some new program to change their direction. They didn't lose interest after a week or two. It became a constant way of life for them daily. They continued daily. But not only that, we also need to note again that they were on one accord. I'm here to tell you, you can have an awesome worship experience when God's people get on one accord. I've been in a church, and I never will forget, at Greater St. Stephen in New Orleans. I was there one Sunday, and the praise was high and all of that, but everything had calmed down, and there was one lady still hollering and still screaming, and Bishop Barton said, "Sister, you're not on one accord." Now, somebody might say, well, her spirit, you know, is you can't quench the spirit and all of that. But the Bible tells us that you have control over your spirit. A lot of times we use that as an excuse. Well, the spirit just wouldn't let me stop. Amen. Stop lying on the spirit. You got control. If the spirit had that much control over you, you wouldn't lie so much. If the spirit had that much control, oh, come on, y'all go. It's tight, but it's right. The spirit had that much control, your attitude wouldn't be so ugly. You smile sometimes. And they broke bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. They were a people who knew how to worship God. They were not ashamed for the world to see them praise the Lord. They sang with all of their hearts. They clapped their hands. They stood to their feet. They danced. They shouted. They worshiped. And I'm so glad I learned a long time ago that you don't have to be Kojic. And ain't nothing wrong with Kojic. Some of y'all looking like, who? Kojic. Church of God in Christ. See, when I was growing up, we called the Kojic church the sanctified church. But I thank God that Reverend Harrison taught us, and I've been under other leaders who taught us that you don't have to have a label Church of God in Christ on you to get your praise on. You don't have to, amen, be sanctified or none of that stuff, amen, in label to get your praise on. All you got to do is just think about the goodness of Jesus. Oh, you don't have... is there anybody in here when you think about what the Lord has done for you, how he saved you, how he rescued your children? Amen. Come on, don't act like you came in here on a bed of ease. Some of you have been through some things, and if God hadn't brought you out, I don't need a praise team for me to get my praise on. I don't need drums for me to get my praise on. When I think about the goodness of Jesus, church will break out. But y'all, what I wanted to really get to is this verse that says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know what that tells me? That tells me that we are responsible for the atmosphere, for the environment, for God to do the work. Because, you see, I don't care what we do, amen, God is the one who adds. You know, the Bible says one water, one plants, another waters, but what? God provides the increase, but God ain't going to provide increase if the atmosphere is not right. God is not going to provide increase if the environment is not right. That's why some of us need to check ourselves at the door. Y'all have heard me say before how I wish, you know, in the airports and places they have those metal detectors. I wish every now and then they had something, a spirit detector that we could put at the door. When you got to the door and come through there with a bad, evil, wicked spirit, the alarm would go off. And we could have somebody out there that could go and say, you got to come on out. We need to pray. Amen. We need to go in the word before you go in there and mess up the atmosphere, because somebody has come in here today in need of a healing in their body. Somebody has come in here today in need of deliverance, and you are not coming here and mess up the atmosphere. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, I didn't read this, but I want you to look at chapter 3. I want you to see the kind of folk that come into our midst in need of help, in need of healing, in need of deliverance. In chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And verse 2 says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, I've got one problem with this. The problem I have is that they brought him to the gate of the temple. When you think about what was going on in the temple, you would think that instead of laying him at the gate of the temple, they would have brought him into the temple. And I believe that's one problem that we have in our families, is too many parents are bringing their children to the gate of the temple, but they're not leading them into the temple where worship is going on. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, Mama and Daddy, you have a responsibility to teach your children more than just showing up at church. You've got to teach them how to participate in the worship experience. You've got to teach them how to give praise to God. You've got to teach them how to honor God. And you've got to teach them how to worship God. That's why some of our children can come to the church house, and while the choir is singing, they're sitting there sending text messages because we don't bring them into the place of worship. That's why some adults can sit in the choir while the word is going forth and sitting there on Facebook. We've got to move beyond the gate of the temple. We've got to come into the temple where worship is going on. And then you've got to be a participator. Are there any participators in the house today who have said in their hearts, I didn't just come to spectate, I came to participate? Because I realize that when I participate, I get my blessing and you get your blessing. Is there anybody here? If you're not too mean, if you're not too proud, you will let somebody know, I'm determined to get my blessing. I'm determined to get my healing. I don't have silver for you. I don't have gold for you. All I have is Jesus. And is there anybody here today who knows that there is power in the name of Jesus? If you praise him, if you worship him, if you thank him, if you love him, won't he make a way for you? Won't he open doors for you? I dare you, I double dare you to get up on your feet and begin to give him praise. Praise him through your trouble. Praise him through your trial. Praise him through your affliction. And do I have a witness who knows that he may not come when you want him to come, but won't he show up right on time? Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Go on and bless his name.
Bless his name. Bless his name. I'm just glad to be a part of the church. Come on, thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. There may be someone here today. You've got to admit that you don't have joy in your life. You don't know the meaning of peace because you are not a part of the church. I'm talking first and foremost about the universal church. Oh my, I thank God for every member of this church. But you can be a member of this church, and if you didn't do it right, still not be a member of the church. So what I want to do now is, our ministers, our deacons, our deaconesses, stand with us. I want to extend an invitation to you, my brother, to you, my sister, to unite with the church, the universal church. Preacher, how do I do that? You do it by giving your life to Jesus today. The Apostle Paul said that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, you can be a part of God's family today. If that's you, my sister, if that's you, my brother, why don't you come? As our praise team sings, as we pray, whoever you are, step out on his word. Come on, step out on his word, whoever you are. Don't wait too late. I see you, my brother. Come on.
It's a new season. It's a new day.
There are others. We're waiting on you.
Fresh anointing.
Fresh anointing.
Lord is coming.
It's coming our way.
Oh, prosperity.
Ooh,
it's a new
I see you, come on.